Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the Lather Talk podcast. We have a really exciting episode for you today, as Gerard and I once again talk to Shane from Blackland Razors, and he's giving us a scoop on his newest razor, the Era. The kicker here, though, is how this razor is made, which is a brilliant bit of innovation. Keep on listening to find out more. Hey guys, welcome back to Lather Talk. This is your host, John, and with me as always is my co-host, Gerard.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And for our guest today, I'd like to welcome back Shane from Blackland Razors. Shane, we talked to him back in January. We wanted to catch up with him because on top of just seeing what he's been up to, he has a very exciting announcement that we'll get into a little bit into this episode. But Shane, welcome back to Lather Talk.
Hey, John. Hey, Gerard. Thanks for having me back. I'm happy to be back. Am I your first return customer? Is not the right word. Guest?
Yes, I believe you are.
Awesome. I'm glad to be it. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. And we're going to talk about the Era today and some other things too, huh?
That's right. And Shane mentioned the Era, which you guys don't know what that is right now, but you will find out in a little bit. But
definitely.
We were just talking about, you know, what are some things we want to cover in today's episode. And Shane, I know there's one thing that you wanted to touch upon that we covered in an episode between this one and the previous one.
Yeah. So when you guys had Ross on, you were talking about the Blackbird Titanium, and mostly you guys had super positive things to say, which is, you know, wonderful. But you guys also brought up some really good points about some quality issues, particularly around the finish. And you guys had, you know, really good points about that. And so I wanted to address those and also talk about how we've already fixed most of them. All of them, but you know, you guys were talking about primarily finish issues regarding like small scratches and things like that on the end. And those are issues that, you know, I definitely was aware of with the titanium, the machine finish. And so what we've done to fix that is a few things. First, on the manufacturing side, I'm now, you know, big enough with my machinists, a big enough customer, you know, we do hundreds of thousands of dollars a year with them, that I can finally institute quality controls of my own, like on them. And I have some leverage now. So what we've done is instituted several different quality checkpoints and kind of tightened up the finish. Turns out there are some things that weren't systematized that should have been. So we now have several QC checkpoints during production, and then also more stringent checks after production. And then when I receive them, we're also tightening things up on my end. And part of that is, you know, we're right now in the midst of building out a new headquarters and kind of renovating a space to get that set up. I think we talked maybe about that happening last time I was on. And I'm also hiring my first employees here in the next couple of weeks. So having people to help and then also establishing those systems for them and for me to make sure that we check quality on our end will help. So we're taking care of the quality on the manufacturing side and at, you know, the shipping side at my side. So so I just wanted to, you know, address those points that they were accurate and I'm glad you guys shared them, but we're also fixing them and have fixed them. And that's true particularly for the titanium, which is kind of more difficult to machine. So there's a bit more finish issues, a bit more common with that one, but it's also true across the entire line of our products. So those same QC standards will be spread out across everything. So just kind of tighten everything up and just keep improving.
That's great to hear. And just so I understand correctly, part of it is, I guess, with the machinist, kind of, is it like a quantity thing? So where more things are being made and it kind of, you know, just your status as a customer, or I'm not sure if that's the right terminology, you know, but
that's a pretty good term. Yeah, it's about, you know, it's a little about you know, my ability to enforce my standards on them.
Yeah.
Now, obviously there are things that, you know, I can say that, hey, or this is important to me, but to be able to tell them like, hey, we need to set up specific protocol to do X, Y, and Z. requires, like, you can't walk in with 10 grand and be like, hey, can you, you know, stop what you're doing and change your entire QC system to fit me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've been customers for years, and it's probably something that I could have instituted earlier on, but, you know, having a little bit of weight behind you definitely helps. And just having a really good working relationship with the people over there where people now get it. They were having some issues with like some staff that were kind of like taking things into their own hands, which I wasn't aware of. Where people were kind of changing the way that things are done, which I wasn't happy about. So it was really important to me. We tightened up all those procedures once I found out about that. Cause that's no good. When I found that out, you know, I was not happy. So we are getting rid of all that. Okay. And just instituting new measures to make sure that everything is as it should be and that there are no issues from both a finished side. And that's kind of the biggest sticking point, but also, you know, just mechanically and from a geometry standpoint, which has never really been a problem, but just adding those checks to make sure it remains not a problem is good. But the real issue is that, like, you know, the machine finish, there's nothing I can do about it. So if I get a machine finish that's bad, I have to either polish it or, you know, throw it away or something. So it's ultimately on me to make sure that I don't ship out parts that are flawed, of course. So basically you guys should have never gotten those scratched titanium razors. That all falls back on me, but my ability to control the machine finish is really out of my hands. What is in my hands is my ability to ship it or not, but I have to tighten up the finishing at their end to make that work. So that's happening.
Okay. And I think since we last talked in January, and we're recording this beginning of April, I forget, had there been another drop of titanium Blackbirds, or was that kind of like on hold given this change in process?
Yeah, so I don't think there has been. We have a lot of supply changes happening. So I think since then, demand has been really high, and we've had to kind of change how we do all of our production, not from an actual machining standpoint, more from an ordering standpoint to make sure that we can stay ahead of the game. So we switched from like a batch ordering where we used to order like 12 months ahead of time. I think we talked about some of that last time, to now we basically have set up for some products, basically like a min-max system where you could fall below a certain threshold, automatically refills to a certain amount. And there's like a bar where you can't go below. So say, you know, I want them to always have 500 Blackbirds in reserve so that if I need to order 500 Blackbirds, they are sitting there complete and ready at all times.
Okay.
So there's like a ceiling where, we don't have more than, you know, some multiple of that, and we don't fall below that. So if they ever get to a certain amount where it's like in that neighborhood, they automatically increase production, kick that back up again. So it's always like cyclical production. It's just always going on. And that's more, it's not more expensive, but what it does is make me basically, you know, accountable for more, which is fine. But what it'll do is keep us ahead of the game so that, you know, we're always ahead of demand, which has been an issue. And so that's kind of spreading out throughout the entire line. It'll take a few months for that to all kind of take place. I think the Blackbird stainless is already on that system. Titanium is being machined now. I think we should be wrapped up in titanium within a week. I expect this to be done earlier, but it's been like juggling, getting the like vectors back in stock, getting the stainless Blackbirds back in stock, and just kind of keeping everything there. And then titanium gets kind of kicked around sometimes, but that'll be back really soon. It should have been back already, frankly, but it'll be back soon. And then the goal is that we just don't do this anymore. Like, we don't want to do drops. I don't want to do, it's kind of cyclical, like sell out, do it again, that kind of thing. I hate that. I know you guys hate it too. So the goal is, and it's not just a goal, it's basically already happened, is that won't happen anymore.
I see. I was going to say, if another drop had happened, because then we can measure whether there was a Lather Talk boost, you know?
Yeah.
Unofficially.
Unofficially, but officially.
Yeah. So I think there is maybe a lab talk boost because, man, I get so many emails about titanium. And especially actually right around that podcast dropping, I did get some extra emails where people were like, man, I really need to get one. Everyone's talking about it. And it's true, man. People love that razor. It blows my mind. But it also doesn't because it's really good. But, you know, people love that more than probably anything I've dropped, I think. Maybe the Vector, but people really like the Blackbird titanium.
Yeah, well, I mean, sorry.
Go ahead, John. No, you.
I was just going to say, I think it's telling that when we talked last time, you're like, there is a noticeable difference between stainless steel and titanium. Because I would say most of the times you change materials, it's aesthetic, it's weight. But the fact that you're like, no. It's just like, it kind of tames it a bit, as far as like the blade feel goes. But efficiency is still there. I mean, that's why, like, I think it helped me... That razor helped me realize, like, okay, I'm going like all in on this high efficiency, low blade feel kind of setup. So,
And people ask, like, is the difference between the Blackbird and titanium just the weight? I'm like, yeah, but it's a huge difference. It really matters. So the answer is yes, but also no.
Yeah, I was talking about it with a friend. He actually loaned his to me, first. And I asked him, did you use a stainless steel? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, it's not just the weight, right? Like, is it are we just, is that 90 grams or 100 grams or whatever in the stainless as opposed to the 55, 56 in the titanium? Is it really just that? Is like our bodies just kind of like not, accounting for it. And we're just kind of like going more natural and yeah, it's just killer. And
totally.
Yeah, and officially, unofficially, so many people, been passing it around, stuff like that. They're just like, yeah, this is just really good. We're just so ready, to have it.
Yeah, people have been really responding well to that. It's pretty cool. People have also, kind of getting ramped up for the Vector in titanium, which I'm really curious about. That's coming up soon. I'll have some samples for myself here in the next few weeks, probably this month.
Oh, nice.
But I'm curious about that because, I said this also about the Blackbird, but I just feel like, well, it's just going to be a lighter Vector. Like, do we really need that? And I felt the same way about the Blackbird and it was amazing. I have no idea with the Vector, frankly. It'll be really interesting because the Vector is already really light anyway.
Yeah.
So it might be too light. I don't know, but we're going to find out.
Well, that's exciting.
I
guess this is probably a good time to bring up, though, as far as new things coming out. Shane gave us, or he's giving us, the scoop on a brand new razor called the Era, coming from Blackland. And, well, I think Shane's the best person to talk about it. He's here with us now anyway. So, Shane, please tell us about this new razor.
I am so damn excited. This is something I've been working on, depending on how you count, sort of like 18 months. And I am really excited. I've been kind of like keeping this bottled up. And I don't expect anyone out there to be as excited as I am, but I am like really excited, mainly for like all the technical work that's gone into this, all like the engineering side stuff. But I really think the Era is going to be just a really innovative product and the dawn of literally a new era of both razors, but also like American manufacturing. And that's something that I'm really passionate about, is trying to like move the needle and seeing what's in the future. And so the quick like byline for the Era is it's a 3-piece DE razor. It's all stainless steel, 100% made in America, including the packaging, which is all custom that we're making. It has the same super tight tolerances as you get in a CNC machined razor. That's perfect edge-to-edge blade clamping. We're like less than a millimeter from the blade. Like, we're really, really tight with it. And that also makes it basically impossible to clog, which is awesome. And it has 5 different levels of aggressiveness from 1 to 5, and also available in open comb and safety bar. So you have 10 different base plate options. And the big, technological kicker is that it's 100%, well, the head is 100% 3D printed. So 3D printed metal, 17-4 stainless steel, so super corrosion resistant, and we're able to hold those really tight tolerances. And so you know, I know we're going to get into like all the technical sides of it. Oh, I forgot the most important part. It's also going to be $75. So, you know, you're getting a razor that, you know, really does it all. It's made here. It is just as every bit as quality and tight tolerances as any CNC machined razor you'll get. With all the versatility of having 10 different base plates to choose from, and it's going to start at $75. So I'm really excited about it. I think that, you know, we talked last time about not launching products that don't move the needle, that don't like push us forward at all.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that, you know, innovation comes in all different ways. I know a lot of people, if you look at the forums, you know, I've dropped a teaser at this point about the era and people are guessing like crazy, which is really fun to watch. But, you know, I know there will be a bunch of people going, it's just a razor, it's a three-piece razor. I don't really care. That's not that innovative. The innovation comes from allowing people to have access to this product at this price point that does all these things at once. That's the innovation. And from the other side of it is the kind of supply side. So by 3D printing it, we also have much greater ability to scale. So we're with CNC machine razors at this price point, they're constantly selling out. Like they make a few hundred and they sell it immediately, and then you're out of stock for a few months, and they kind of ramp back up and do it again and again. And it's just really hard to keep stock. Mm-hmm. But here we can scale up to thousands a month if we need to. And we can scale down, and we can do basically, we have complete control over our supply chain in a way that you don't with CNC, which is really nice. And we'll get into the details here because I do say like 3D printed versus CNC, but there's also a lot of CNC in this razor. It's not just 3D printed. And the 3D printing itself is also kind of CNC, which we'll get into. But yeah, so that's the era. And I think it's going to be incredible. I've been using it kind of exclusively for the last few months, and it's a really, really good razor. Like aside from all the other, you know, the spec list and the 3D printing and all the cool stuff about it and the price point, it's also just really good. So I'm really excited about it. It comes with this cool black finish. The packaging is awesome. We've been working on that, and I just can't wait to launch it.
We've been very excited to hear more about this process. I'm curious as far as like the feel of the razor, right? Like I think in general, there's always an element of blade feel for amongst the, you know, the Blackland razors. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's kind of like, is that part of this design as well?
No, not really. It's not like Blackbird style. When you get up to level 4, or level 5, you are going to get a bit of that. But, you know, here we're trying to have something that's more, you know, for the masses, I guess.
Okay.
Because we're trying to have something that works for really every person. You just get a little bit of blade feel up in the 4 or 5 range. But it doesn't have that same Blackbird, like small blade gap, high blade exposure thing. We instead have gone for a really slim, low profile, where the blade is literally clamped as tightly as it can be. We're like right at the edge, and we have a lot of surface area covering that. And so that kind of rigidity combined with the really low profile safety bar lets you get like surprisingly close with a pretty like moderate to no blade feel, depending on the level you choose.
Yeah.
So it's not a super high blade feel, kind of like a Blackland trademark in that regard, which is why like I've called it a departure in a few ways. Like,
yeah.
One, it's not all machined razor like we've done. Two, it's not at, you know, a super premium price point. It's more kind of like, you know, moderate. And three, it's not made exclusively for like the advanced shaver. This is meant to be a razor that anyone can pick up and have a great shave with, whether you are brand new or whether you have been shaving for 15 years or whatever. So, you know, that range of aggressiveness lets us kind of get everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never get everyone.
You know, mostly I think the listeners will be familiar with 3D printing, plastic, sure. You know, various things like that, but metal. So yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, let's get technical with it. So yeah, I mean, 3D printing has been a big part of Blackland from the beginning. Every single thing that I've ever made starts as a 3D print. So there's, you know, I don't want to get too technical for just like broad 3D printing, but you know, most people are familiar with like an FDM printer, which is, I think, fused deposition material. I forget what the M stands for. Basically, you know, it's that same thing most of us have seen by now, where you have like a nozzle that, you know, has a filament attached to it and it has a hot end at the nozzle and just kind of like squirts like a, you know, a melted line of plastic, and then you build on that. So that's, you know, the kind of household desktop printer that a lot of people have seen or familiar with. This is not that. There are a ton of different types of 3D printing. And in metal 3D printing is also not new. The type of metal 3D printing that I'm using is very new. But as a concept, it's not that new. And typically the way it works are, as with all 3D printing things, there are a few ways you can 3D print metal. The most common is basically we take powdered metal, like the same stuff. Well, we'll get into that later. Take like powdered metal and basically fuse it with a laser. So you kind of lay it out on the build volume bed, and then your laser comes in, zaps it, fuses it. And then you can build, you add more powder and then do that layer by layer. And you build, that's where you get those really crazy like organic shapes. Where you've probably seen maybe some like really cool titanium 3D printed things. If you look at metal 3D printing, that's the stuff you're going to see. It's also used as for like titanium airplane parts and things like that. They use them in the aerospace quite a bit because you can do really cool geometries that way. And it's good for very low volume. So if you're going to print five things, it's super expensive. They're really long prints. They take forever. The build volumes are really big. But you can do really cool things. So for low volumes, that's great. But up until now, there really hasn't been a like high volume metal 3D printing or really any type of 3D printing that's made for like mass manufacturing. So the company that I am working with is this awesome startup based in LA called 3DO. And they've been incredible. So I'm happy to shout them out. We've been working together for, like I said, like 18 months. I originally brought them a different project, an adjustable, and it wound up not being the right choice. But from that, we kind of eventually landed on creating a brand new design, like the Era, and that is kind of where we leapt off. But they created this technology a few years ago. And the way it works is their goal is not to make crazy ornate organic shapes. Their goal is to be cost competitive with CNC machining and metal injection molding, or MIM, M-I-M. And MIM, if anyone has a Rockwell 6S or a Supply V2, that's a MIM razor. So the way that works is you take a big mold, you take powdered metal, it goes in there, there's like this binding agent, and you come out with this part that is in the shape, and then you like basically sinter it. You put it in a furnace and it fuses that all together. So what 3DO wants to do is basically take away that mold cost, the upfront tooling, and make it so that you don't have to deal with like super expensive molds. Those molds can cost, you know, 10, 20, 50 grand sometimes, and they're not changeable, right? So if you want to change your design, you got to get a new mold. Or modify your mold if you're lucky enough. So 3DO wants to basically eliminate the need for that. So they've created the system where you use basically the same powder that goes in into MIM. Sorry if I'm getting too technical. I know this is going to get boring for some people out there.
Keep going.
For me, this is like this is the best for me. This is my shoes for Gerard. This is my sneakers. So imagine. The device, the printer itself, is not very big. It's like, I don't know, it's like a big vending machine, right? And it has this build volume. You think of like a shoebox. And the way it works is you lay down this really fine layer of that same powder that you'd find in MIM. In 3DO's case, we use 17-4 stainless steel. And they lay out a very, you know, specific height layer of that powder. It's really, you know, important you control every aspect of this. It's super precise. Then they basically spray that down again in a really precise way with a binding agent. And that's kind of like wetting sand, where you can now build a sandcastle. So now you have your little layer of bound metal. And then what they do, which is what separates 3DO from everyone else, which will make them really clever and what attracted me, is that they actually have CNC end mills inside that machine. So for people who don't know what that is, it's basically like a drill that cuts metal, right? That's how you CNC machine things. So they have multiple of those. I think in the newest build, they have 6 or 8 all in parallel. They all come down like this. They drop down and they cut the outline of that first layer. So say you want to make a pyramid, you'd first cut a big square and then a smaller square and a smaller square and a smaller square. So that's how you build kind of 3D printed parts. You take what we call 2.5 dimensions, where you take 2 dimensions and then kind of extrude up, just add thickness, and then you stack them on top of each other. And then you wind up with a 3-dimensional part. So they basically CNC cut like a router, almost just a outline, a perimeter of all the, you know, componentry you want. And then we do another layer, same thing, more powder comes down, binding agent, cut the outline. And the benefit of this is CNC machining is super reliable. It's super cost effective. And the reason why this is better, some people will be like, well, if you're machining, why don't you just machine it, you know, stainless steel, like a billet steel. And the reason is that this is way easier on tools. So you're cutting this like bound cake instead of hard metal. And so, you know, we, when we're machine machining stuff, our traditional razors, we like burn through end mills and tools, and their lifespan is really short. 3DO basically never has to replace their tooling because they're cutting through like soft, you know, powder. And so that extends their lifespan. It makes it really quick too, because you can go boop, 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 and you just cut out around the outside. You don't have to like cut through metal. And there's also less waste, because you just have to basically have this powdered metal. Mm-hmm. You don't have like a bunch of metal chips you're killing. And so then you take this green, what we call the green part. This is when everything's finished. You have, you know, you filled the whole thing with that bound, those bound metal, the bound metal powder, right? So we've built the whole thing. Inside there is our little part that we've made. Now you have this big thing called the cake, and it comes out, and inside that there are, you know, dozens of parts. And you take this big cake and you basically break out all the parts, and now you have a little base plate. And now you basically have the same stage where MIM was when we take it out of the mold. So instead of having the mold build this part, which we call the green part, they basically just 3D print it instead of having the mold do the work for us. And so now we have this part. It's super fragile. It feels almost like unfired, well, not quite like unfired clay, but you can like snap it in your hand. So you can take like this bound metal and just snap it in half. It's also oversized too by like 20%, which we'll get into in a second. Then that goes into a furnace. It gets heated up. I actually don't know how hot it gets, but you know, hot. The binding agent falls out. So that doesn't like ruin your mechanical properties. And then the metal is basically sintered together, and you get really, really good density. So you actually get around 99% density. 99% of the density of billet steel. Whereas MIM, we actually get like something like 95%. For a razor, it doesn't really matter, but the point is you're getting something that is mechanically as strong as billet steel when you're done with it. But we're not done yet. So then we actually go for our razors. Because things like blade exposure and blade gap are, you know, really important, and it's really, really critical that the blade is mounted really flat and level, and that all those safety bar surfaces have to be super perfect, we then go and actually CNC after it in post and just kind of like level those out, make sure that those can hold really tight tolerances. And so then we get the benefits of 3D printing and some of the benefits of CNC. And so you wind up with a razor that is, you know, a third the price of some of our CNC razors and does everything you want it to do. So, you know, the reason this has taken 18 months is because these are the largest parts that 3DO has ever printed this way. And I mean, they're, you know, with a razor, it's 42 millimeters long. It's really not that big. But, you know, they primarily make like stuff that's in firearms and little triggers and little componentry. And so making this part that is, you know, pretty complex and also requires really tight tolerances and good accuracy was really a big challenge. So the last year has been spent on my end kind of working on the design and fine tuning it for their procedure or for their, you know, technology, and them actually like developing the technology in step. So, you know, they use this product as basically a way to advance their own abilities. And I'm going to turn on my brightness here. I'm beautiful. So they basically, yeah, people are listening to this. I turned up the brightness on my light here. So I can glow, but so they basically use this as a, like a training device to advance their own skills and their own, you know, technological prowess. But like, there's a lot of technical difficulties that go into this. So when I told you that, like, they're built oversized because they shrink when they're centered, the way it shrinks isn't uniform. So you might think like, oh, it's going to shrink 20%. Just make it 125% the size you want it to be, and it'll shrink 20% and you'll get down to 100%. But the reality is that like, they don't all, not all parts of the part shrink in the same way or in the same, you know, along the same axes. So you can't just like reliably go, we'll just scale it up equally across the board. So you have to go in and like the base plate's going to, in the X direction, shrink 18%. In the Y direction, it'll shrink, you know, 22%. And you have to like go in and then oversize the other direction. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff that's just like kind of trial and error and like way above my, you know, pay grade, which is why I worked with 3DO. Those guys are.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Geniuses. Started, you know, really, really cool company. I've gotten really close with them. You know, we work on almost a daily basis together for the last year plus. And so having their backing has been really cool.
Well, I mean, so what it sounds like, and this will be a good test to see if I understood it correctly, it's a hybrid. I mean, it is using that new technology, right? But like you mentioned, there's still a CNC component to it. But
yeah.
What this partnership sounds like, it's the cost savings, right? Because like material costs, the manufacturing costs. I honestly never thought about like, okay, there's the CNC, the machines, right? Like the tools actually are going to give way. And so that's part of the cost. Why does it cost this much to make this thing or that thing? So, yeah.
And also in that is not just the thing being replaced. There's also wear. So as you're CNC machining something, like imagine if you were trying to drill a hole, but as you drill, the drill bit gets smaller and smaller. Like as you you have to then like figure out how to drill the hole bigger, right? Your holes are gonna get smaller. So as you CNC machine stuff, you're wearing on your tools and you're wearing on like your end mills and things like that. And so you actually have to like account for that wear. So the part number 1000 is gonna be different than part one, unless you account for that. And so, because the tool itself is gonna wear. And then you also have to replace it, and that's downtime, that's labor, things like that. But, you know, so having a really efficient kind of automated system like 3D printing where you can basically load it and go is really, really helpful. And what's super valuable from my side, which is why we can offer it with 10 base plates, is that in that same build volume, it doesn't matter. The whole game is how many parts can we fit in that space, because you're going to fill it up with powder and you're going to run the machine either way. So the entire build volume gets filled. So the whole game is like, how many parts can we fit? And so, you know, when people get their eras, if they have a couple base plates, you're going to notice that those all can actually stack on each other like really well. They nestle into each other, and that's because they're made to fit as many as we can into a space. So there are like, you know, technical requirements and some technical limitations to get the most out of it, and to also make it, you know, both a cost effective and a good razor and good looking. And so there's all these things that are kind of like tugging in different directions, which is why it's been such a fun project to do. And also a total pain in the ass. Like, it's been so, so much more difficult than any of us expected. The 3DO team certainly did not expect it to take this long. And I didn't, but, you know, difficult things take a long time. And so, you know, for me, it's super, I'm happy to wait. You know, I'm happy to keep pushing because I really believe that this is the future of both, you know, razors, like I said earlier, but also I think like more broadly, like manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of thing allows us to be cost competitive with, you know, foreign manufacturers and stuff. Or we can make things here. I mean, we're building this thing mostly in California. I should say now that the handle is CNC machined, as is the stand, and also is the blade, not the blade, the top cap stud is also CNC machined. Those things just aren't cost effective to 3D print.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the entire head is 3D printed in LA. You know, so we can do this here in California and be cost competitive with people all over the world. And all our packaging is made here. And so, you know, I really see this as literally the reason it's named Era is because it is a new era of manufacturing. Like I'm definitely sure it's the first mass produced razor made this way, but we're also pretty sure that it's the first like consumer good that is majority, you know, metal 3D printed, like in the world, which is really cool because no one else is making things this way yet. It exists in like little components, exists as part of like aircraft you fly on, but nothing that you buy that you own is majority made this way. And so this is like the first razor or first product we think that's in the world that's made this way. So I'm super excited to be part of that, and it's been, you know, really rewarding. But at the end of the day, it's just also a really good razor.
I have so much going through my mind right now.
Let's hear it, man. I've been talking too much. All right, you...
No, so like as a consumer, that's also an enthusiast in this hobby, right? Like, yeah. You know, just being acutely aware of the, you know, just the low price point that, you know, like buying stuff overseas, like can do, you know, and you're just like, yeah. And there's so many products that are like that, you know, where you just say, you know what, you know, if I might as well just like, you know, if a Chinese business can make it like a stainless steel, like handle or something like that for $30 it would cost here $100, you know, it's so tough to compete on that sense. And what you're saying is, you know, with the announcement of the Era, with just everything you've gone over, that you can have a complete razor made in the United States, sell it for $75, and that's providing, you know, like paying for all your costs, like, you know, that's everything. That's so
crazy.
That's wild, I feel. And I don't know if other people will think that as well, but that's wow. Just wow.
Yeah, that's the game, right? Like, I believe that like innovation can, you know, obviously move us forward, but also kind of, you know, protect ourselves, our own interests. And we can level the playing field by just, you know, innovating. And in addition to just being cheaper, like, you know, this is also a razor that does everything. Because we can 3D print it, we also have like really extreme you know, undercuts, like in your background behind you, that's the Era. And you can see that like under that safety bar, that is like a really severe undercut that you just can't CNC machine. So we can like do things that you can't even machine anyway if you want to. And
I get, okay.
Yeah, no, please, Gerard.
So, I mean, just not knowing, you know, obviously with the Era, you have your designs and everything like that. Does that also mean that in the future, right, like if you have a new design, it would just be that much easier to implement, you know, if you so chose, you know, chose to?
Yeah, are you asking to like modify the era or a
new razor? No. So, you know, like just in general, right? So, you know, doing the system with the caking and whatever, you obviously like the machine has the design like in there. If you were to like, you know, have like a design, is it like plug and play if you wanted to release a new product, for example? You know, we're using this as a DE, for example, but let's say you wanted to do like the Saber, like a gem model. Yeah. Would it just be as simple as putting in the new design and letting the machine do the work in a similar fashion, or
so
as well?
It's a lot simpler than waiting 18 months just because we've figured out how it all works. It's not quite as like plug and play as if like your desktop 3D printer, but it's also not super far off. You know, we still have to factor in, like, there's a lot of decisions you have to make, like how do you slice the layers, like how thick should each layer be, that kind of thing. But the answer is yeah, you know, the era is just the start, like it is the dawn of the era. And so yeah, we'll be making all sorts of stuff this way. There's already plans to do, you know, an SE this way and in some future things. And I'm also just thinking about like how to use it all the time in my regular life. Like I'm looking around the world and being like, what the hell can we print? You know, it really opens up the world for us. And really, you know, the only limit is, you know, money and demand, but we can make, you know, all sorts of really cool stuff. And the real reason that, you know, I'm excited to be part of this is because like we're early, and 3D printing in this way is still like, you know, a little bit in its infancy, but within the next couple years, we're pretty sure that we'll be able to completely get rid of layer lines and things like that. Like you'll notice in the era, there's a little bit of that. The pre-production models that like there's a picture behind you, there's a little bit more layer lines that we'd like to see. Because again, we were talking about building that pyramid. And if you have like each of those blocks, you know, you get like that. If you step back far enough, it looks super smooth. When you get up close and find detail, you can see a little bit of those lines. On the era, we've gone to great lengths to make them really small and to make sure that they don't interfere with the shave and make sure that they are, you know, aesthetically pleasing. And I think they certainly are. And we also don't want to shy away from like how it's made. Like I kind of want people to see that. It's kind of cool. But in the future, what we'll be able to do is have true like 3D, true three-dimensional machining as we go. So we talked about how like right now that that end mill comes down and it cuts like a profile. In the future, we'll be able to come down at an angle and cut like an angled profile to completely get rid of those layer lines up and completely eliminate them entirely. So you'll wind up with a part that you won't even be able to tell is 3D printed or machined. You'll look at it and just go like, oh, it must be, you know, MIM. But there's no usually on MIM, you can see like little seams. Like if you look closely at like your 6S, you can see like a little bit like, oh, that's where the mold, you know, had the clamshell opened up. So, you know, this for me is just the start. And to your point, Gerard, yeah, we can do all sorts of fun stuff with it. And we're going to. So that's already coming up. And importantly, I should bring this up now. We also have exclusivity, so no one else can make them, which is really important, which is why I'm happy to, you know, put my buddy's 3DO on blast, because, you know, that's my secret up my sleeve, but we have exclusivity with them. So no one else can make anything with them. Well, at least not shaving stuff. You can go make whatever you want, belt buckles or something, but you can't make razors. So, so because of that, yeah, we'll be exploring this further. And that's not to say that like my CNC machine stuff will go away or that it will even slow down. This to me is just like another tool in my belt. But they're a really good tool, man. Like it's a really good tool.
I think, you know, again, trying to speak as a consumer, in there, is that, sorry, I don't know if kiddos in the background, speaking as a consumer, that like price point is like, is really big with a lot of people, you know? And so I think to hit that sub $100, $75 price point for a stainless steel premium product or, you know, a premium level product. Yeah. That is so That is so convincing for, I think that's going to be so convincing for a lot of people.
I think so too. Cause like, honestly, you know, I think we've talked this before, but like, I'm not sure that I would be my own customer. You know, now that I am, I would be, you know, it's hard to separate that, but yeah. Like, you know, spending $200 on a razor is ridiculous. Lots of things are ridiculous that like I'm happy to do, by the way. Like, just because it's ridiculous doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. But we've talked this last time. Like, I just don't think it's the future. Like, I don't think it's where the money is as a business. I don't think it's where you know, growing the market, growing the niche is. I just think that if we're going to try to get to more people, like $75 is also not cheap. You know, we shouldn't pretend that like we're so obsessed with like $200, $400 razors that we're like, oh, $75, it's like free. Like, it's still $75, man. Like, yeah, it's still totally. A pretty expensive product.
Here's the thing though, right? If I go to Costco or Sam's Club and I buy cartridges,
yeah,
how many cartridges am I buying? We are buying a $75 era and some blades on the side pays for itself instantly. It's pretty quick.
Yeah, we're now in that level where we can have a real conversation about like actually saving money. I always think it's like, I don't want to, I'm not going to name
saving any, money.
I'm right? not going to name any names, but like, I feel like a lot of, there's something that's been really like, you'll notice that you never hear anything from me about like, oh, like this is one thing you buy for life and you'll never have to spend another dime. Like, you'll never see me say that about any of my razors because it's such bullshit. The era is finally one where like, maybe that's kind of true. Like, if you're buying a $250 razor, like, come on, like you're not really saving money. Like, if we go out for like 30 years or something like that, maybe, but like, it's silly. But we're now at the price where we can kind of actually have those conversations for people. If they're like, hey, I want to get like one really good quality thing. I'm willing to spend a bit of money on it, or a really great gift. We're now in like that kind of territory where we can like, you know, where people are willing to spend that money for something nice as like a treat for themselves. But like, it's hard to get people to spend $200, and it should be. It's, you know, silly. That's real money. But you know, I think this price point is the area where you expect to get something that's quality and something that is going to last you and something that's going to be a good experience to buy and to receive, and the packaging is going to be nice, but it's not such like a off-putting price point. And that's where I want to be.
Yeah. I think we mentioned that last time we talked to you, where in general, on the more, not the niche, not the extreme hobbyist side, but just in general, what are people's your average customers, you know, max price on a nice razor? I think we said 100, right? Like 100. So to target that, and in this case, or go under for quality, let alone like stainless steel, like that I don't know, that's it's kind of funny, you know, now that this is coming to market real soon. And and speaking of which, Shane, is there a estimated, you know, like a release date?
Yeah, so we're close. Production is actually happening now. We're working on some final details. Like, we have some videography, photography, some packaging stuff. Everything's basically in like those final stages. And I think we're looking at a launch date here in the next like 3 to 6 weeks. So we're recording this on the 7th of April. So it should be, I think, early May.
Okay.
Drop date. And this won't be a pre-order. This is going to be, you know, we have them, you can buy them, we'll ship immediately. And we are, though, limiting, like, we're artificially limiting supply, mainly because I think this razor will sell really well. I think it should. If it doesn't, I screwed up. And I want to make sure that, one, like, the, you know, 3DO, we need to make sure that they can keep up with it. We're all pretty confident in the production system. We're all really happy with how things are going. We have our quality down. We're all really happy with all that. But, you know, I'm pretty conservative in this regard, and I want to make sure that if something that's never been made before, well, let's not rush out the gate and make 5,000. You know, like, let's start with like a couple hundred, make sure we can do it right, and more importantly, make sure that I can fulfill them. Because, you know, getting crushed by demand that I can't meet is no good. You know, it doesn't really matter to me if I sell 1,000 razors if I can't ship them. So making sure that everything is tight on on our side of things is also really important. So they'll be kind of calling it like a soft launch. In terms of like CNC machine razors, it's actually pretty high quantities. But I think we'll, you know, probably sell out based on price point. And then we'll have basically like a tiered rollout over the next few months, and not a few months, next couple months. By month like three, we're slated to be basically in like full production, so that there'll be no limit. And one of the beauties of, you know, 3D printing is that we basically like adjust, you know, production on the fly, which is something we didn't really hit on earlier. But, you know, the reason why we can have like 10 base plate options is because if I only need, you know, not that, like, the reality is that like very few people are going to buy like the level one open comb, right? Like, it's pretty specific, it's super mild, but also open comb, so like that's pretty niche, like within the niche. Mm-hmm. And in the CNC world, if you have to sit on like hundreds of those, you just wouldn't make it, because you know they're never going to sell. You're gonna sell like five a month and you're just like, I'm not gonna make them. But because we don't have to worry about that, because we, again, if it fits in the build volume, it prints. So if we want to do 20 this month, that doesn't matter. We can do 20 out of 1,000 base plates can be open comb level one. That's fine. So that allows us to have the flexibility to have all these different options that we normally wouldn't have, which is, you know, one of the really cool things about it. Like, that's one of the things that sets the era apart, is that using this tech, we can do things like that. And we don't have to worry about like traditional CNC like inventory issues. We can just kind of like change them on the fly. And if we decide like in a few months, like, oh, level five should be, I don't know, level six, we can just put another level between there. We can just do that. We can just do things as we go, and we can have a lot of flexibility and versatility, which is super helpful, super valuable. And again, we can change our production quantities up and down as, you know, the months go on. So that way we can always be meeting demand. And since it's like a monthly production cycle, there's, you know, really quick feedback. We know immediately, like, hey, are these selling? Are these not selling? How many do we need to make? Do we need the double production? Do we need to half production? And we can really be super agile, which is something that you just can't really do in CNC machining. Of course, like I said, you know, the handles and other parts are still CNC machined. So we, you know, we're a little bit confined, but that stuff's pretty inexpensive. So we can sit on thousands of those and like whatever.
Are we looking, so is this going to coincide with all of the other, with like the titanium as well? Are we going to look on putting them out together, titanium, so first, then era? Are we, whatever the timing kind of like fits, it'll go up?
There's so much shit going on around Gerard. Like, it is chaos. So it's kind of controlled chaos. So I'll kind of hit like on a larger question of just kind of like what's going on right now in the next like month.
Sure.
So I'm stretched as like as thin as I've ever been. So right now, you know, this has been a home-based business. We talked about this last time. Got a new facility, and I've been working on getting that set up. So like, you know, fully renovating the place, like, you know, basically like, it's a combination like warehouse and offices and stuff. So, you know, getting everything like just painted and modified and like installing fixtures, and like, I don't want the stupid like warehouse bathroom that was in there. So I completely like renoed that, and I've been, you know, like rebuilt that entire thing. And I like my spaces to be like reflective of me. And so I'm putting like a ton of time into this place, and effort and money. And that's also coinciding with like hiring. So we have our first employee coming on here in the next like week or two. So right now, like I'm waking up, you know, at six, I go to the gym. I come home, I see my wife for like 5 minutes, wave. We both go off to our respective corners of the, you know, of the house, and we work. And then, you know, I work my, you know, my day job basically. And then I drive off to the new headquarters, and I work there on like renovating the place until, you know, from like 6 to 10 at night every night. And then I come back home, and then I go to bed. And so I'm working like, you know, 12, 13, and then all weekends are just like getting things set up, getting that going. And so then, like, you know, on top of that, again, yeah, we have the titanium coming, we have the vector titanium, we have Tradere's, we're almost back. We're working on revamping, like scaling up all the polishing. That's finally happening. We're getting an entire new line of packaging across the board over the next few months. So that'll be coming out. It's not super different than what we have, but just kind of upgraded, you know, better foam, better boxes, things like that. And then, you know, we have a new branding rollout, same name and all that stuff, a new logo, new kind of like, you know, visual identity. Hmm. Also coinciding with a new website that I'm trying to build when I have time. So all that stuff is like coming together at like once.
Yeah.
So, and the idea is that I have to like bust my ass now so that it'll be a little bit easier on me in the next few months, because especially for like, you know, honestly, Blackland is too much now for me. And then throwing on the era, which I think will really should have like really high demand. You know, it's really important that I'm able to fulfill those orders quickly and able to ship immediately and still respond to emails and still like do all those normal things. So getting all of that going is a real challenge, but it's coming. So yeah, to answer your question, there's a lot of juggling about like release dates and stuff. And I think it's going to get really congested. Yeah, it's going to get congested. Like it's going to be like, hey, Titanium's here. Hey, the Era's here. Hey, yeah, Tradera's here. And it's going to be like a little bit, it might be a little bit much. So, you know, I definitely want to get the Blackbird Titanium back in stock as quickly as possible. So that will just kind of like, when it's done, that's just going to drop because people love it and I don't want to keep it from them. But the like Vector Titanium, I'll just like sit on that till it has like space. I want to put some space around the Era because yeah. You know, one is just like you want to give it some room to be kind of center of attention before you drop mm-hmm. new stuff around it.
Of course.
And also, like, you know, people don't want to be like, oh God, I have so much to buy. Like, it gets like, you know, it gets kind of stressful for people because like, they want to buy all this stuff, but they're like, no, you put it too close together. And so that stuff's hard to figure out. But that's also kind of the stuff that is nice when. You know, I'm at a position now where I have enough in the bank and I have some like security that, you know, before if it's done, I have to sell it immediately because I need that money like tomorrow. But now it's like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like we can give it a month and I'll drop it like, you know, in a month and we can sit on those for a while and that's okay. So that's something that, you know, having a bit more mature business is like, you know, it's one of the benefits. But most I'm just excited to get out of my apartment and get into like a big facility where we have like physical space to do stuff. So I'm really, really excited for that. And that's going to open up a lot of opportunity because like right now, you know, 5 hours of my day is spent just doing like physical stuff, like order fulfillment, inventory management, just stuff like that. And that's such a waste of time isn't the right word, but it's not like the best use of my time. It's not moving the needle forward. That's just keeping us in place. That's just surviving. So that leaves like, you know, 3 or 4 hours of actually doing stuff. And a lot of that time is spent just like, how do I hire somebody? Like learning that, you know, those are things. And so like that whole process of getting help is like a big burden actually. Like, I mean, it's pretty obvious that you have to learn how to do that stuff, but it's like, I'm in a position where I need the help, but to get the help, I actually have to like spend more time and more effort doing that. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a super burden right now to get help to lessen my burden. But that hurdle has been mostly passed, and that'll free me up to do like more products, more design stuff, more, you know, videos and things like that. I'm trying to get more like, we're out there. But yeah.
And to make an analogy, like as a nurse, you know, like just in my job, a lot of like 90% before any procedure is like the prep work. And it just makes the actual, you know, objective like super smooth. And I mean, it just, I totally exactly. get it. That's where you're at. You're like I'm at 91% right now. And like,
yeah,
we're just so close. And so I'm so excited for you, man. I am so excited.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm really, really excited. I'm excited about the era. I'm excited about just where things are going generally. It's pretty cool. It feels, you know, like a year or two ago, I may have talked about this last time, but I think we talked about how, like, I wasn't really trying, you know, putting my all into Blackland. Like, it was doing fine and I was just, like, happy with it. But like a year or two ago, I was like, you know what, like, let's make a real run at it and sink or swim. Like, we'll just throw everything at it. And if it doesn't work, like, that's fine. I'll go do something else. But I'm not really maximizing what Blackland can be. You know, I'm just kind of, I basically made myself like a decent job, and that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But I was like, you know what, like, I can like take a bit more risk here. I can definitely put more of myself into this. And so it's been really like fun, rewarding, throwing all of myself into something. And it's exhausting and it kind of sucks. And I have never been more stressed out, but it's super fun in a lot of ways. Like, it's satisfying to know that you're actually trying and actually putting your all into something and actually seeing it come together is really rewarding. So yeah, I'm really excited. And like, you know, the era is a big part of that. It's a big part of moving forward and taking kind of a risk, because there's a big chance that era just like falls on its face. Like, there's always that chance. I don't think it will, because it shouldn't. It's like the best razor I've ever made, and it's like half, less than half the cost of anything I've made. But you never know. So yeah, man, I'm really excited for how Blackgun's going.
Well, it's just really excited. Kind of like Jared was saying, we are really looking forward. I don't know to what this could mean, you know, not just for Blackland, but for this new razor to get people's hands. We can't wait to check it out once, yeah, you know, once the final release date's announced. So
yeah, we'll absolutely get some for you guys.
Awesome. But definitely folks want to keep an eye on the Blackland website, the social media. I know Instagram, Shane's kind of everywhere, so
I try to be. I
think pretty good job at just keeping people informed. But we definitely want to thank you for kind of giving us kind of the scoop on what's about to come, and even, you know, even if we got really detailed with the actual process of it, I know there are people listening here that are really excited about machining. Maybe they've been waiting the entirety of their wet shaving lives to hear more about machining.
I was going to say, you know, like, there's going to be those machinists out there that want this video to go viral, because this is the this is the announcement they've been waiting for in their entire industry.
Yeah, I mean, and that's funny. Is like, that's a layman's version. Like, that's like the shortest. That's the shortest version that like I can give, and I'm also not the person making it. Like, that's the important thing to know, is that like, is when it comes to this stuff, like, as much as I know, and I'm the kind of guy who wants to know like everything about it, you know, like, I want to know all the engineering stuff that goes into it. I want to know all like the technical stuff, even though it doesn't really matter. I just like knowing. I still don't know a damn thing compared to the people who actually do it. Those guys blow my mind.
Well, actually, Shane, for folks who might just want to, you know, they are interested in it, but, you know, maybe it's not their, you know, particular specialty. Are there any resources you could share, YouTube channels, websites, et cetera, for people who want to know more about this?
Yeah, go check out 3DO. I think their website is like 3DO.co. That's three, you know, the letter or the symbol,
the number three.
Number three. I told you I was tired, guys. And then DEO. 3DEO. I think .co.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's .co, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Their website is kind of like, they're revamping it right now. And one of the cool things about them, I actually talked about them for just a minute, if you guys
Time. Go for it.
You know, one really cool thing about them is that they are super invested in Blackland. They've spent so much time and effort and certainly resources and money on this project. And like, they have way outspent me on this. Like, they're completely in, they love what we're doing. And for them, they see this as like an opportunity to show what their tech can do. Cause up till now, all their stuff is just buried in little like you know, little widgets and stuff, little gadgets here and there, like gun assemblies and stuff, but you can't like see it. You don't get to pick it up and feel it. And so this is the first time that they're making something for like the end consumer, where they're the bulk of it is what they've made. So they're like really into it and they're really excited and they've thrown their weight behind it. So like a few, maybe it was more like 5-6, maybe more weeks ago, went out there to their facility and they had this like, cause Hollywood, they live in LA and Hollywood is like shut down because of COVID, maybe less so now, but they got time, I guess. So they got like this big film crew to come in and we had a director. We had like all this incredible like equipment and they shot like all this cool video of there's interviews with me and like all the guys there. Also a bunch of like production shots and just like really, really, really cool footage. And then they hired a model to do like shaving with it and stuff. They're doing like all this animation. And so they've really thrown their weight behind this product. Like they're really as into it as I am. And so they're building their new website kind of like around the era and around Blacklands.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that might be a dramatic way of putting it, but they're going to have it like featured on their website. And it's a really big part of like their homepage and stuff like that. So they're as excited about it as I am. And they see it as like a great opportunity to, you know, attract more investors and, and they're working on like their, you know, they're like a bona fide, you know, badass startup where they're on their series like B or C or something like that. And they're just a tremendous resource. So yeah, go hit them up. If you have something you want to make, definitely make it with them. They're the best people around. And it's been amazing having them as basically like a partner in this. Ultimately I'm their customer, but like, we're really working on it together and they're as invested in it as we are. So it's just really cool to be with people that, that are doing that. And, you know, and so it's funny cause like it feels like this new, like advanced technology and stuff, but it's like the same kind of relationship that I have with my machinists. Like we're just buddies, you know, like I call them up, they all shave with my stuff too now. Like my main guy that I talk to from, like my project manager, I guess, my machinist, like he'll just send me like this little box. He's like, look where I put my razors in and stuff. And you know, he just gets like, he's stoked on it too. Like he's a wet shaver now. I don't know if he knows that he's a wet shaver, but he is one. Like he uses my razors all the time. And he like installed a rack in his bathroom and he's like, just like shows it off to me. And he's like, just cool, like middle-aged dude. And like, so as advanced as we are, like I have that same kind of like familial, like friend relationship with 3DO. Even though they're this cool, like startup, it's just nice having those interpersonal relationships and that doesn't change even as like technology changes. And so that's been something that's like a real pleasant surprise. So having their weight has just been awesome. And they've been a great partner in this. So yeah, check them out. You won't find anything else because no one else is making parts this way. They're the only people in the world that are doing this. Really smart people. So definitely check them out.
Awesome. And we'll include a link to them, but just to repeat the URL for those impatient, it's the number 3DEO.co. So we quickly pulled up the website, more information, what they're doing. And yeah, that sounds very, very exciting. A great partnership too. I think, you know, good relationships, right, with folks that you're collaborating with, working with, and what part, you know, partnering, it makes sense to make a quality product. But Shane, we just want to thank you again, you know, again giving us a sneak peek, for lending us your time. We know things sound certainly busy, but I think it's kind of like that light and then the tunnel's coming. Even if you have to space out the releases, just the fact that they're just around the corner, and we're so excited for you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being back on. And maybe we'll do it again in a few months. We should probably have another guest on again.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lather Talk. You can find more information about our guest, Blackland Razors, at blacklandrazors.com. You can also find all the links and socials for Gerard and myself in the show notes. Also, don't forget, you can join the conversation on the Lather Talk Discord server. It's a great place to chat and hang out with your fellow wet shavers and listeners of the podcast. We hope you enjoy the show and that you'll join us for the next episode.